Go ahead and celebrate my future evangelist. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Praise the Lord. Now, last Sunday, we were talking about the vision. And for some of you who are not here, we saw that it is of paramount importance. A vision is not only for a group of people. A vision is not only for a church. A vision is not only for a company. If you are setting up a company, you wanna have a vision so that it can direct you to the place where you are going. Now, we had an opportunity to define a vision, and we had different people speaking to us or explaining what they understood by vision. A vision is nothing but a mental image, a mental picture of a place where you want to go. It is a mental picture of a place where you want to go. Amen? That is all about a vision. Every person in this house today, every family in this house today, ought to have a vision. Amen? Your vision may not be as same as my vision. We all have been called to do or to carry different responsibilities and purposes while under the sun. Praise be to God. Without a vision, people perish. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. My people perish because of lack of wisdom. Without a clear purpose of where you're going, then you're just reduced into a being that does things haphazardly. God has not called us to do things haphazardly, that anything goes. You know, you might be in a meeting. There is this meeting that is the developmental meeting that is taking place in Plano. You are there. There is a meeting that is down in Fort Worth. You don't even know the clarity or the definition of that meeting. You are there. You know, you have not been called to be everywhere. Hello? Heart to heart. By the way, heart to heart, okay? Nobody has been called here to be everywhere at any single moment. Sister Carol, you've not been called to be everywhere. So it is okay if you are not everywhere and people blame you. It is okay. God has given us clear directions of where each and every one we are supposed to go. And it occurred to me, and it occurred to some of us in our ministry, especially in the leaders, as we've been talking with some of us, that if we do not really appropriate the position in which God has given us, then we are going to lose the direction. To be honest with you, I don't believe that God just called us into ministry to just minister to one another. That could be one of the reasons why God called you and me to minister to one another, Brother Steve. But I believe that God has given us even a higher calling to minister to people that are beyond the four corners of this building. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Are we together? So when I look at your life, if your life would be if you would be given an opportunity to display your life here and what happens from Monday through Tuesday, through Wednesday, through Thursday and Friday, and recycling into another week, I don't think your life probably is what I may be able to see, because I may see you working and working and working and working. And we saw that last week. We saw this last week. God has never called everybody, every one of us, to just work and work and work and work and work. When we do that, we are chasing something. What are we chasing when we work quadruple shifts? What are we chasing when we're working triple shifts together? What are we chasing? There must be something. Be something we are chasing. We are chasing some dollar, isn't it? Somebody say dollar. Say like you love the dollar. How many of you love the dollar? Come on, be real. Oh my! It is not a tricky question. You don't love the dollar. Okay, I don't know whether I have some money here to give somebody who does not even wanna. Where's my wallet? If I gave you $100, would you take it? I love Julius. He said, oh, yes. We are working so that we can have enough money to sustain us here in America. Amen? But how many of you know that life is not just about money? We saw last week that there are people during the downturn of the economy. You remember when the stock market was plummeting down? Did you read on CNN that there are billionaires actually who gave up their lives? Just because the stock in which they had invested went down and they lost a couple millions. And after they lost a couple millions, doesn't mean that they were poor. They still had stashed away some millions set aside, but they still, you know, just because of their overwhelming love for the money. It is, by the way, don't think it is a trick question. I didn't say that you love money and hate God. The root of all evil is the what? Huh? Oh, no, somebody, don't let us not misquote it. What is the root of all evil? The love of? So I didn't say, please do not mistake me. I didn't say that you love the money. It's not that love that I'm talking about. That love, which is the root of all evil, is that, you know, everything about you is about money. When I talk about Christ, you know, you can put Christ aside so that you can pursue money. That is the love that is talked about in the Bible. So don't confuse what I asked you, whether you love the dollar. I know everybody loves the dollar. If I give you the dollar, you take it, you pick it up, right? So fast. So the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, why would these billionaires, I ask myself, why would these billionaires kill themselves even though they had so much stashed away and that would cause even actually generate part of their generations and their children of their children and the children of their children to survive? And they would not actually, the millions that they had, they would actually outlive, they would die and leave those millions in the bank. Why would they kill themselves? And I realized that genuine peace doesn't come out of the money that we may think we are acquiring. Let me tell you guys, we will never be rich just working even the shift that we've been working. Since I came in America, I've not seen one person really who is completely wealthy and so is going on vacation just because of working that job here. Or working just that one job and continuing working and so that you can be wealthy. Then it means that there are other things that the Lord wants us to partake, other avenues, other routes that we need probably at this point need to take a detour and understand what then is going to take us to financial independence. Praise be to God. It is very, very important that we listen to this because as I spoke last Sunday, I realized the heart of people, the interest, the outpouring. You can feel the spirit, the eagerness, and the desire. God, I wish I'm not swimming in all this debt. I wish I can have this financial independence. I wish I can have time to come and pray. I wish I can have time, you know. That time whereby you are relaxed and you're not thinking about the next day, wow, what the next day is going to bring, you're just relaxed and knowing that God is in control. Are we talking? If we can find that detour, would you be willing to take that route? Would you be willing to say, God, I have tried this, I have tried the other, and I have tried this, and it's not working? Let me tell you guys, I'm taking a step of faith, and this week, I want to make a bold statement to you that I'm now available here in the church beginning this week. Amen? I'm taking a step of faith, not just because it is true. Thank you. And I appreciate God for that. Not just because I have enough money, but I've realized that I have to take a detour. I want to be available for you because I believe that is the primary ministry that the Lord called me for, to serve you, to stay, to tarry here in the church, and to intercede for you. Praise be to God. And I'm trusting God for provision. I'm trusting God for so many things. I realize that if I don't set the pace, if I don't set an example, it's going to be so hard for me to expect you to do certain things that I want us to do if I am not setting a good example. Am I wealthy? I'm believing God to be wealthy. Praise be to God. Well, not the trillion that somebody say that he will not die before the trillions. I want to be real and you know, you know what I'm trying to say? But I want to get to that financial independence whereby, you know, I'm able to not worry about the bill that is unpaid so that I can focus on what the most important thing, whether it is family for you, whether it is loving God, whether it is prayer, whether it is reading the Word of God. Are you listening to me? Are we up to this point? Are we together? Now, stay with me because we are going somewhere. Praise be to God. So we saw a vision is a clear mental or a mental image or a picture that is usually provided by the Lord of a future where you want to go. In your family right now, where do you want to see yourself in the next 2 years, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years? What is your goal? What is the agenda? What is the Spirit of God speaking into your heart? What is the purpose that the Lord is instilling into your heart? And every day when you wake up, it is almost so, it's so real. And it's almost in front of your face, the Lord whispering and telling you, Brother Julius, this is exactly the thing I want you to pursue. In the next 5 years, I want you to have accomplished this. And I thank God because some of us are on that route. Praise be to God. I thank God because some of us have been able to trust the Lord. We are going to school. We heard from the Lord. And now, hallelujah, we have come back after seeing that mentor image. I want myself to be a lecturer. I want to see myself as an LVN. I want to see myself as a doctor of philosophy. I'm seeing myself being a doctor, pursuing this course. I want to be a scientist. You have seen the mentor picture. And now, just like what you do on a GPS, if I want to go to Pastor Steve's house and I've tried to call him, he's not picking up, but I have the address. Do you know what do you normally do if you have a GPS unit? How many of you have ever owned a GPS unit? Now everybody has a GPS on their phone, right? What you do is you click the address to Steve's house. And the GPS is going to tell you, make a right on Josie. Make a right on 635. Make a left on I-35. Is that not what the GPS tells you? The GPS, the route on the GPS is what is called a mission. Somebody say a mission. So a mission leads us to a vision. The vision is the destiny. The vision is where I want to go. Praise be to God. Now, within the mission, sometimes you have to obey. You have to really be observant of what the GPS tells you. Because some of you have realized that sometimes, you know, you miss the route. And what did the GPS tell you? Huh? The GPS tells you recalculating. Thank God, because the person who reprogrammed the GPS didn't tell that lady to be rude or something. Who do you think you are? You think I'm just here to waste my time telling you where you need to go? Why did you not obey? Can you imagine if that lady would be telling us, you, some of us would take that GPS and forget it. I can go by myself. But thank God, that's exactly how God wants us. He is so faithful because sometimes along the route, while we are supposed to be observant of the goal where we are supposed to go, sometimes we take a route and we forgot that is the devil misspoke and you thought it was the Lord's voice and you took a corner. But this is exactly why I want to instill this. I'm speaking to us about these things because we are going to see exactly how the Lord wants us to chatter through the detours when they come. Praise be to God. Thank God for that lady on the GPS because she tells you recalculating and eventually it might take you on another route, eventually leading to where Steve's home is. Praise be to God. So the route, the GPS, the route that is on the GPS is what is called a what? A mission. Somebody say mission. Now we have to be very, very conscious. We have to be very alert while we are following that GPS. We need to put aside all the distractions. And I'm talking about every family needs to have a vision. Whenever you are pursuing some things, there will be some tightening of some belts. There will be some sacrifice of some sorts. People may not understand what is going on in a home. You may not even really understand the whole idea. Some people might be wondering, why is so and so doing such a thing? But you know what? You have a mental picture of where you want to go. Thank God, for God speaks to us in so many diverse ways. How many of you have passed through 635? Do you really like everything that is going on, especially when you're running late to work? Eh? Or any road that is under construction, or maybe you're supposed to deliver something, Brother Gideon, and you know you're held up by that construction, maybe it's one lane. But you know what? If they can give us an opportunity, I was actually wanting to Google to see whether there is the complete picture of how 635 is going to look. In the next few months, you will not believe how 635 is going to look. Trust me. You're going to be, it will just be a swift flow. because they are building lanes. Some, I understand some lanes are going underground. Some are going overpasses. You know, as you can, you have witnessed on I-35. You know, there'll be traffic going. And in other words, it will ease the traffic movement. But right now, we don't like it, right? So exactly the same way when you're going through the mission, there are some tightening of some belts, some sacrifices. When people are going to look at you, they are going to think you're crazy. But you know what? In your heart of hearts, I want you to know that it is okay. Because exactly you have a clear mental image of where you want to go. Are you listening to me, church? So don't worry about, you might be under construction. Things might be under construction. Things might be have to be moved here. Things have to be disarranged. There are some meetings you may quit attending. There are some people you may disconnect with. Hello? There are some people we may have to disconnect with because I have a mental clear image of where I want to go. And as long as I'm hooked up with this person, as long as I'm attending that committee meeting, it may not really be a beneficial aid or a tool that is leading me to the place where I want to go. Are you listening to me? Very, very important. You know what is the thing that nags your family? You know what is the thing that nags your person? Okay? There could be myriads of things. It could be you want to start maybe an activity. You want to maybe go to the gym. You want to start maybe a prayer meeting. You want to start maybe a career course maybe. It could be maybe you want to improve your finances. It might be maybe God will tell you in order for you to get to that place, it could be maybe if the vision is really to have some financial independence, as I was telling us last Sunday, you might probably think of getting maybe even increase. If you're doing a double, maybe try to look for another job. But with an intention of reaching where? To the vision. Are you listening to me? Otherwise, just taking another shift just because somebody else took another shift and out of jealous, you said, she took another shift. Now she'll have money, more money than me. Then I take another shift. Let me tell you, when you take that other shift, you're going to go to Walmart and you're going to say, oh, now I have more money. This one I've been wanting to buy for a long time. And guess what? There is a layaway program. So you go ahead and put $200. And that's not what we do. Oh, you go to Best Buy. You know what? It is going to be, you can take this and you can pay it within 12 months. Just take it. You know, you can take it and actually we'll give you 3 months. And just because you have an extra shift, without any program, without even thinking, you're going to sign up for things. And let me tell you, I've gotten into those programs and I know the consequences. You know, it looks very good on paper. 6 months? 6 months? You're making $500 a week? 600? I can make this, you know? And you think you're going to make it. But you know how many of you know how you don't know how tomorrow is going to dawn? Tomorrow brings sin more. That's why the Lord tells us, just don't be anxious over everything. Every day has its own worries. Everything, every day, it has its own capacity. Don't worry about tomorrow. And also, you may not know how tomorrow is going to come. And as we are going to see in the scriptures very, very soon here. So let us, every single family, every single individual, if you do not have a vision, I want you to go home. If you're married, if you have a family, if you have kids, listen to me very clearly. Go, if you're the husband, the head of the family, if you're the mother, you're the head of that family, it doesn't matter. If you're the only one that you're living by yourself, have a meeting by yourself and set down some vision. In the next 2 years, this is exactly where I want to be. Write it down on a paper. Are you listening to me? Pin it somewhere on a mirror so that every morning when you go, you'll be able to see this is my mission. And so after you know this is the mental image of what God wants me to be, back up a few moments and say, and now begin to plan. Okay, for me to get to that point, I need to take this. These are the steps. List them down one by one. Okay? Okay, from this day, I'm disconnecting this friend because every time I talk with them, especially if I tell them that I'm doing this and this, they discourage me. So put an X on that friend. When they call you, tell them, hey, praise the Lord, I am busy, I gotta go. When they ask you, why are you so rude, tell them, my pastor told me not, you know, I have to, you know. I give you permission. Listen to me, church, it's very, very serious. Let me tell you, when I realize there are some friends that I had, some very, very genuine friends. It is not that I'm an enemy to them right now, but the things we used to do with them, I don't do no more. If somebody used to call me, he told me, oh, pastor, I've had this and this, you know, this guy who said that so-and-so, especially this man who was saying to them, I said, no, well, you know what? Every time I talk to this person, every time they tell me, in fact, when I pick up the phone, I know exactly what they're going to tell me. They're going to tell me about somebody. You know what? When they call me next time, I don't pick up the phone. And then next time I meet with them, I tell them, oh, you know, I got so busy now. I'm involved in the things of the Lord. And, you know, I'm just a different person altogether. And you know what? With time, they will understand what happened. Because you have not been called to have a relationship with everybody. I know you don't understand that. Okay, the Bible says have peace with all men. But that is a different, there's a difference between having peace with all men and having a relationship so that when you, with all men, so that everybody you call, have you ever seen people, you don't even know them, hey, my brother, you know, this is a man, I wanted to pay my bill, and you don't even know them, you're just disclosing your secrets to everybody, what you want to do, and the next moment you find those are the people who are coming underground to eat you up. Are you listening to me? We need to be really, really careful, especially we human beings, we are very good. Have peace with everybody. Very good. Korea, have peace with everybody. Have peace, man. Help everybody. Be kind to everybody. But I don't believe that God, even Jesus himself, he had a close relationship with part of his disciples. Why he did not? When he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and he gets into a critical moment of his life where he had to become sin for the entire humanity, he didn't take all the 12. But he got them up to a certain point and he said, hey, John, James, and who else? And Peter? Was it Peter? Who was it? There were three of them, right? He told them, okay, those ones, nyinyi bakini hapo, you don't stay there, let us go with the three. Hallelujah. So what does that mean? These other nine would not clearly understand the magnitude of the hour. But these three, I've observed them, Jesus, I believe, said. I've observed these three. And I've seen the seriousness. I've seen that they don't have any accusation within their tongue. I have seen their hearts. They have carried the burden of the ministry. They have received my words with authenticity. They have received me with the whole of their hearts. I have to go with these three. These three, I'm going to disclose certain things that I will not disclose to the nine. But Jesus still, those who are still his disciples, mind you, were they his disciples? Do we read about them? No? Do we read about those disciples also? Are they authentic disciples of Jesus Christ? Are they? How many of you believe they are? Thank you. It's not a trick question. They were authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. But listen, he never told them everything. So Jesus set an example for us that we should not everybody we are supposed to have a close relationship with. Choose your friends wisely, because there's somewhere you are going, and not everybody is willing to celebrate your success. Not everybody is gonna be ready to understand the vision and the mental picture which the Lord has given you. Hello, church. If you want to have peace with men, you know what? Keep it closed. No, be wise. Let us be as wise as what? A serpent, that's what the Bible says, and humble as doves. Be wise in all your interactions. Be wise. Choose your friends. Choose a friend who can pray with you genuinely. Choose a friend who will always encourage you. Choose a friend who is going to offer a genuine shoulder to cry on. Choose a friend who is going to come in times of need. You know, he's not just a friend in need. He is also a friend indeed. Because we have people today who are friends in need. Somebody say need. Yeah, they just need you when they need. Oh, brother, so and so, can you help me? Let me give you a very good example. And please forgive me if I step on somebody's sure toes. We have ministers who come from different parts of the country, and they come here. And let me tell you, when they come here, they say, oh, Pastor Tony, I'm in town. I want to do this. Can you have any place I can preach? And many times I've said yes, and they have come to preach. But let me tell you, the moment they hit that door, I'll next hear about them the next time they come around in town. I said, I don't want those kind of friends. I'm serious. I want a friend who, when I give them an opportunity, when they get to Kenya, they'll call me and say, Pastor, thank you so much. How are you doing, Pastor? Do you have any things that I need to pray for? You know? Is that not true? Have you ever seen people who are passing by Dallas here, they just remember you when they're in Dallas? Oh, Gideon, I'm in town. They don't have anywhere to sleep. They want to come and sleep in your home. Now, you need to know that your T-Mobile phone or your SBC, Sprint phone, it has some buttons and they were put there for a reason. There is ignore button. There is, I'll call you later or I will do whatever later. I'm busy right now. Sometimes when you call me and I'm talking with somebody on the phone or I'm busy doing something very crucial, I have programmed a text in my phone. You know, I'm either on another phone or attending to somebody and I'm not able to talk to you. That is not rude. Because, you know, if it's somebody who normally, you know, they always call you when they're running by Dallas. And after you give them a night of sleep and you attend them nicely, and it is not bad to really welcome visitors because the Bible says... You might welcome an angel, but this angel who comes in Dallas, this angel is always coming on. It's not that kind of an angel. That is not an angel. That is somebody who is really trying to use you. I come against the spirit of using people in the name of Jesus. Tell them your pastor told you. When they come over Dallas and they want every time, can you come and take me somewhere? You have your program. You have your vision to go, not being interrupted every time. In fact, when they come, tell them, you give me $50 because I'm busy. This is business now. Because, you know, if it's going to cost you 1 hour, how much do you make 1 hour? If it's $13, $15, and you're going to give them lunch, tell them, if you can put gas. You know, let me tell you. Can I talk? When somebody calls you to drop them at the airport or to take them somewhere, tell them, pass by the gas station. And because you're on the driver's side, tell them, can you get out, put some gas on the car? Gas is very expensive. You know, you'd be putting $50 for every person $50, and they don't even appreciate them. No. If you're getting them, let them do something and contribute. They're on their mission. Do you hear me? They're on their mission. Let them also know that you're a busy person. And that's why it's very important to have a clear mental image of where we are going. Very, very important. Are you listening to me, church? So you know what the mission is? What is the mission? It's the route that takes you to the vision. What is the vision? It's a mental picture of where you want to go. Normally, God gives you that. Okay? Because when you give it to yourself, you're going to start on a mission and down the road, it's going to crumble. And you're going to start, help me! You got yourself involved in a business pyramid, because you had everybody is just going on a pyramid. Did you hear that? Julius, we've been burned before. Oh, my goodness. Especially in Dallas. It is the center of business schemes. Oh, there's these pictures. In fact, there was one. Why are you laughing? Why you conned also? I can see somebody's wife doing this to their husband. I will not even say who. Sister Junie, there was a scheme here. You know, you don't even understand. This is a Kenyan thing. They said, now, these pictures, once you get involved, you're going to get millions. They are original pictures. And when you sell them, when you retain one, you can keep it for later, and you can sell for hundreds of thousands. Let me tell you, everybody was like, I received calls. Pastor Tony, you cannot miss this one. Listen, I never got myself involved in the picture business, but I've been involved in some other things and I got burned. Children of God, we have to be very, very serious. Not everything that the picture business, in fact, that company just got broke. People lost their money. People are so angry. Mwathani. You have not been called to do everything. We have not been called to do everything. You know, if you know that you have not been called to do a business, do work. God can bless you in your work. Are you listening to me? He can bless you through your work. What is the latest now? What is the latest? Kahawa. I've done kahawa. It's good because I drank but never made any money. Huh? Yeah, at least I got into that business. And I gave $500, but I never made anything. But at least I'm drinking. I was introduced by my friend. But you know what? When Julius introduced me to it, No. Listen, seriously. Seriously. He never introduced me on the basis that I would make money. He told me, Pastor, if you take this kahawa, it will make your body feel better. Even if you don't make money anyway, you know, we are going to feel better. Thank you, Julius. And actually, by the way, I still have some of that coffee. Oh, yeah. That is my next, the gym. I want to do that one. Oh, this is good, isn't it? Please give me just a few minutes because this is very, very important. So we have seen what a vision is, what a mission is. Now, in order for us to carry a mission, there are certain things that we need to have. And now that brings us to, you see that thing that is on the blue there, can everybody read? Good. You know, however you read it, you know, I could hear different accents there. That's still okay. You got it. Growing self-worth while maximizing potential in every soul we encounter through practical and purpose-filled Christ-like living. Now, that is the vision the Lord gave me when we started this ministry. Growing self-worth while maximizing potential in every soul we encounter through practical and purpose-filled Christ-like living. If you can just give me a few minutes, I'll be able to explain. Can you give me just a few minutes? And I'll be out of your hair. Now, whose title is Leadership Through Personal Awareness by Leo Boogie Jr. You can go Google, you can write that down, or you can come to me later. You can go read about his works. This is what he writes about self-worth. And I'd like everybody to be very attentive. This is what he says. I view self-worth as a measure of the availability of our spirit to believe in ourselves. Self-worth comes from a source on the inside of us. We create it through faith by acting on the singular belief that we matter. Self-worth is the foundation of our ability to believe in ourselves. Now, there's something that I would like to correct this writer. He is very profound, prolific, but he writes it, you know, from a secular point of view. But he has almost a point. But this is what I paraphrase it, and this is what the Spirit of the Lord helped me to put it down. I view self-worth as a measure of the availability of your spirit. Can somebody say the availability of your spirit? The measure of the availability of your spirit to the Spirit of God. Amen? The measure of availability of your spirit to the Spirit of the Lord, as he tells you who you are, as he narrates through his word who you are. Praise be to God. So self-worth is just a measure of the availability of your spirit to the Spirit of God. So in other words, it is how our spirit, your spirit, is connected with the Spirit of God, because when my spirit is connected with the Spirit of God, then I am going to believe and I am going to have no shadow of doubt of what he says concerning me. Praise be to God. We have all come from different backgrounds. There could be your mother spoke some negative words concerning you and you're still hanging on those words. And it could be a teacher in your local primary school in Moranga who spoke a negative thing telling you that you amount to nothing and you will never go anywhere. And even today, you're still at the back of your mind hanging on those words. Listen to me, church. Self-worth will never come to us. It will never come to us. We will never realize it until the availability of our spirits, until we have enough measure, until our souls is available enough to be connected to God so that we can believe everything he says we are. Are you listening? Now we come to the next point. What does God say you are? What is the report of the Lord concerning your life? Hallelujah. What is the report of the Lord concerning your life? And the writer here says, we create it through faith by acting on the singular belief that we matter. But where he goes wrong is he says that we do it by ourselves. We don't do it by ourselves, but it is the way, the measure, the time that you spend with God, the availability of your spirit, so that it is connected to God, so that every word that he speaks concerning you, you can hold on it and you can hang on it in spite of the things that you're going through. That is how self-worth is going to come into your life. Let me tell you, church, when we have self-worth, there is no boundary that we cannot cross. When you have self-worth, there is nothing that we cannot conquer. When we have self-worth, there is, let me tell you, the things, the laws that have been set by men, immigration status. When you have self-worth and you believe what God speaks concerning your life, you can walk tall knowing that God can change anything. Are you listening to me, church? You can do, let me tell you, church, some of you may not even have a background in business, but the moment you have self-worth, the moment you hang on the words of Christ concerning you, let me tell you, you can walk tall. You may not have done very well in school. Brother Ezra, slap my hand. Praise the Lord. This young man here, and we are going to hear a testimony very soon about him. By the way, when are you leaving? 26. Why are you laughing? We are having a heart-to-heart talk, right? I met Ezra, and sorry, I'm preempting your testimony. Ezra told me that his teachers in primary school actually didn't even think that he would amount to anything. He was not even performing anywhere close to where anybody would think that he would be somebody of value in the future. But this young man trusted the Lord. I thank God I have a testimony. Glory to Jesus, Ezra. You know, he made his heart available, his spirit available to Christ. And when he made himself available to Christ, then he believed the words of Christ that said who he was. He hung on those words and there was provision. Even when there was no money, he was able to succeed. My goodness, and now he has graduated. This time we are celebrating Ezra with what he has excelled in America. Not that he had a background that had finances. Not because his parents were rich enough. But because he hung on a God and he hung on those words of a God and he believed on the words of the Lord about concerning what he said he was. And miraculously, Ezra got finances even to pay his school. He told me today he did his double masters and he owes nobody nothing. That is only God who can do that. It is only the Lord who can do that. I know you can give us testimonies here. You came here maybe with a 50 cents or maybe a $20 bill. But because, I thank God even from where we come from. Because there was a foundation, even though we have neglected that route which we were taking on back at home. But thank God, because God never forgets where we came from. If you were attending Cassius, you remember those Karura forests you used to go. You remember those caves you used to cry to God day and night. God does not forget those. And he still goes back and see, and he says, I remember your commitment to the ministry of the church. I remember what you did for the Lord. And the Lord is able to give you those words, and you're able to run with those words, and he is able to reward you later. Praise be to God, because it's never enough. It is not for nothing that we serve the Lord. Because even though it might seem like it is useless, it might seem that we are not receiving any wage. Nobody might be patting you on the back. But let me tell you, up in heaven somewhere, somebody is recording it. And in due season, you're going to have a harvest, my brother. If you faint not, if you are weary not, very soon, you're going to reap a harvest. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Catherine, don't feel so bad when you drive all the way to Arlington to come to worship, because God is going to reward you. Brother Julius, when you give yourselves to the precepts and the things of this ministry, God is going to reward you. Hallelujah. Sister Ruth, when you get committed to the things of the Lord is going to reward you. Hallelujah. Sister Carol, you listen to me. God is going to reward you when we dedicate ourselves in serving the Lord. It is never empty. Hallelujah. Are you listening, my brother Steve? Glory to Jesus. Respond to the call of ministry, church. Respond to the call of ministry. Heart to heart. Where he goes wrong here is he says that, you know, we created through faith by acting on the singular belief that we matter. But it is the Lord. It is the Lord. When we get connected to him, he is able to give us self-worth. Glory be to Jesus. Self-worth is a foundation of our ability to believe in ourselves. It is true. He is right on that one. It is the foundation to believe in ourselves. It is that for the foundation that we believe that, you know what, I've never done calculus in my life, but this happens to be a prerequisite for my degree. But you know what, even though I've never done calculus, I know I'm going to face calculus because my Jehovah liveth. And he is able to give me calculations and he is able to bring remembrance and the ways of how to handle this subject. That is a self-worth that I'm talking about. Now, listen. Self-esteem has a gate. It has a portal. They call it a portal, like a P-O-R-T-A-L. Self-esteem. We all need self-esteem in the things that we do. Let me tell you, today, many people crash and they fail to reach their destinies just because they don't have self-esteem. Now, the parent of self-esteem is self-worth. You cannot claim to have self-esteem if you don't have self-worth. You begin by having self-worth, and then you have self-esteem. And self-esteem will open up doors for you. Are you listening to me, church? Whenever you have self-esteem, it doesn't matter your language. It doesn't matter how you speak your English. Glory to Jesus. You might be praying. You might be going to somebody. You might be going knocking into an office, and all you hear is, pardon me, I cannot understand what you're saying. But just because of the favor that clothes you all around you, they say there's something within you that makes me feel that I need to get connected with. It is not about your accent. Speak it. If you come from Nyeri, speak with that accent. Speak to the Americans with whatever language you want to speak to. Because it is not that gives you access, but the favor of the Lord. It is the self-esteem that comes out of getting connected with God. Am I speaking to somebody? Glory to Jesus. Oh, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Self-worth is a foundation of our ability to believe in ourselves. Now, what are some of the things that the Lord has spoken concerning us? Very, very quickly. I know time is gone, but can you give me just 5 minutes? And we're going to be done. Sister Noel, read for us 2 Peter 1 to 4. I hope that is the scripture that I wrote down. 2 Peter, I believe chapter 1, 1 to 4. Read that. I hope it is. Hold on. Just look for it. Pastor Steve, be looking for Mark 16:15. Brother Julia, Matthew 6:33. Mark 16:15. Sister Maish, Madoni, are you listening to me? Romans 8:37. You have your Bible? Yes. Borrow it from somebody. Romans 8:37. Who else? Come on, look at me, Thuo. Yes, son. I want you to read John 16:23. Juni, Romans 8:35. Sister Mary, Deuteronomy 28:13. Sister Charity, Deuteronomy 15:6. Sister Irene, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 12. Sister Purity, 1 Peter 2:9. Sister Grace, Jeremiah 29:11. Sister Charity, 1 John 5:14 to 15. Huh? Oh, yeah. Okay, yourself, Ruth. What did I tell her? Ruth, read 1 John 5:14-15. Pastor Francis, Matthew 5:14. Okay, can we read so quickly and then we'll be out of here? Did everybody get? No. You read in the order that I give you. Can you remember? Oh, my God. Okay. This is very important, church. Listen, it's very, very important. That's why I want us to read this. It reminds us, I know you have read this before, but it's very, very important that we... 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 to 4. I'll tell you what, forget about that. 2 Peter. No, 1 to 4.
Precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior.
Hallelujah. That is exactly what I wanted us to see. Seeing that his divine power has granted us to us everything that pertains to? Who is the Lord speaking to? Who is the Lord speaking to? You have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. Actually, you can stop up there. Okay, the next person. Mark 16, 15, what was that? Yes. Praise the Lord. This is very significant that we know. We need to know that we are God. We are messengers of the gospel. Even when we have a vision that the Lord has given us goals and dreams to accomplish, we really need to know that this message, this has been delegated to everybody who has been called a son of the kingdom, a son in the kingdom. Praise be to God. That is part of what God has called you to be. Matthew 6:33. Is it very important for you to know that? Is it very important for you to know that? That if we are going to get to the vision, we need to learn Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So even as you pursue your vision, you're not supposed to lose what? To lose the connection with God, our relationship with God. Very important. Romans 8:37. Can you repeat that? Yes. Do we need to know that? That we are more than conquerors because we are going to encounter trouble. Is that not so? We are going to encounter opposition. But when we encounter opposition, we need to know that we are more than conquerors. That in spite of the oppositions, we are going to fight and we are going to be victors. John 16:33. Yes. Do we need to know that when we are pursuing our vision? Because when opposition comes, we don't need to give up the towel. Trouble will come. Opposition will come when you're pursuing your vision. It's very important for us to know that trouble is part of the process. Praise be to God. Romans 8:35, quickly. Praise the Lord. We need to know that. Deuteronomy 28:13. Please, can you read it slowly, Irene? Because that one is very sweet. The Lord will make you the heart? The head. Yes. Somebody say, I'll always be at the top. No, say like it's the word of God. It's not Tony who is telling you to say it. Say, I will always be at the top. Never at the bottom. I'll always be at the top. Never at the bottom. When I'm pursuing my vision, I'll always be at the top. In spite of trouble, I'll always be at the top. Ezra is a good example. I'll always be at the top. Whether I have money, I'll always be at the top. Because God will clothe me with favor. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 15:6. Did I give you this to somebody? Deuteronomy 15:6. Sister Charity. And then somebody, Deuteronomy 28:1-12. Who is reading that? Okay, read that, Charity. Listen to this. The Lord God will bless you as he has done what? Promised, yes. Uh-huh. And you will? You will lend to many nations. But praise be to God. Do we need that when we are going on the journey? Especially when you have a financial problem, read this. Let this be your scripture that guides and guarantees you. You will lend to many nations but borrow from none. Praise be to the Lord. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:1-12. Who did I tell to read that? Oh, let me read that. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follows all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high. Listen, he will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks will be blessed. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. In other words, God will bless your nursing career. You may not be going to dig a shamba, but God can bless your photography career. Hallelujah. God will give you customers, Pastor Steve. When you don't have a shamba, speak to what you're doing right now. God will give me favor with my bosses. Nobody will speak against me. My professors, I'll pursue my doctorate degree without any hindrance. Praise be to God. You'll be blessed when you come and blessed when you get out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. These are words that I... Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will send a blessing on your burns and on everything. In other words, the Lord will send a blessing on your account and on everything you put on your hand to do. The Lord, your God, will bless you in the land he is giving you. Verse number 9, the Lord will establish you. Somebody say, the Lord will establish me. Come on, say like you mean it. The Lord will establish me. Come on, say like somebody who is just about to have lunch. The Lord will establish me. Thank you. The Lord will establish you, his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of your Lord God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. Somebody say, abundant prosperity is mine. You may not have it right now, but say like you believe it. Abundant prosperity is mine. Yes, in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, and in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open up the heavens. May the Lord open up the heavens on us. Praise be to God. The storehouse of his bounty to send rain on your land. May the Lord send rain on our land. In Jesus' name, in the season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of your Lord God, and I will give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. We read that. Do not turn aside from any of these commands I give you today, to the right, to the left, following other gods and serving them. 1 Peter 2:9. Who was reading that? I pray to the Lord you give me one time to speak about you, about royal priesthood. How the royal, the highness, you're a prince, you're a queen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. Praise the Lord. Do you think you need that to go ahead? Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Very, very important. We need to have the scriptures. You have the Bible, go write them down. Write it on your doors. Praise the Lord. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and a love, and a sound mind. Amen? When you don't have self-worth, you know what? The absence of self-worth is fear. It is this, you're running scary. You don't have love. You don't have peace. You don't have joy. You don't have power. But self-worth comes, it reverses all that. Praise be to God. Because when we connect with the Spirit of the Lord, he is able to annihilate fear. He is able to give us power. He is able to give us love. And he is able to give us a sound mind. We have to know where and why we are going, and our directions might come from the word of the Lord. We are called not just to visualize it, but to complete it. Not just to talk about it, but to do it. Praise be to God. Now, this is our vision. As I told you last Sunday, and I think I explained this the first Sunday of the year, We have been focused to teachings intended to mobilize us into our roles of ministry. And the vision that we also have is very intentional strengthening of all ministries. We, in the next few months or few weeks, we're going to introduce discipleship classes so that we can start learning about the word of the Lord. As I told you, and I've told you many, over and over again, we are planning to set up a food pantry in the church so as to care for those in need in our midst, and as well as the people who are in need outside our church building. We've started the process. Actually, Julius and I, we have already started the mission actually towards our goal. So pretty soon, when we call upon you, and you know, we're going to give you reports even as we progress. And now that God has opened up the door for me to be here, I'm going to aggressively pursue these things because I want to trend on the mission so that we can arrive at the vision which we have. And we also want to create an environment which brings about spiritually strong families that have a zeal for the house of the Lord. My desire is that every family, every single individual who comes to Empowerment Christian Center will be a mature Christian and well-rounded up, that he will be mature in everything, that there will not be any question that this person has been grounded up in the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. And we also will be having overseas missions. We also intend to carry on overseas missions. And also, finally, last but not least, we have initiated the process of owning our own property. Now, those are the things that we want us to accomplish. You need to be praying on those things. That is the general vision and where we want to go in the short term and in the long term. And as the Lord continues to give us ideas and things that we need to accomplish, we're going to communicate this. But in the meantime, we need to pray about these things, and we need to be serious while praying about this, of where we are going. Praise be to God. But above everything, I would like everybody to have a personal vision. Now, last Sunday, I promised you that we would like to have information concerning you, having your email, your address. We'd like to know a few things, you know, concerning us. And we've been able to come up with a few forms here. Please feel free to fill them. If you feel there are certain things that you don't need to fill, you are at liberty. I'm not forcing you to do anything, but this is for the general purpose of knowing who you are and for the general purpose of understanding, creating a relationship so that we'll be able to communicate with you in the future. You don't have to turn it today. Have, go study it, pray about it, and I'm going to pass it over to you, or maybe you can pick it up after the end of the service, and then you can go home, fill it out, and bring it next Sunday. Praise be to God. Shall we stand on our feet, please? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lift up your right hand to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you because I clearly heard from you, Lord, to come and communicate this to your children and to communicate to us about these things that you wanted us to know. I believe with every fiber of my body that you're leading us somewhere, both as individuals, as families, and as a corporate body. I pray, Father God, even as you have spoken to us before concerning dreams and aspirations that we need to pursue, that, Lord, we are going to pursue them with the whole of our hearts. We've heard it, we've talked about it, and it's time to act and so that we can do them, Lord. I thank you for this family that comes to Empowerment Christian Center, Lord. They have the zeal, they are capable, and they have the potential to reach their destinies, every single one of them. Where the enemy has put a hand whereby they have been distracted or they have been somehow stopped from pursuing their destinies, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that the hand of the enemy will be removed in the name of the Lord. That, Father God, you shall stay them on the course, be it a financial struggle, be it whatever they are going through, Lord, be it business connections, be it whatever struggle that each one of them is going through. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Father God, you shall embrace them. I pray that every one of them, Lord, shall feel the warmth of your embrace in the name of Jesus. Lord, I realize and I know But there are some unspoken needs in this congregation. But Father God, they are known to you, because the Bible tells us that everything lays bare before you. Father, you're the one who created them, and you're the one who put them together. You put their personalities, Lord, together. You put everything that constitutes them. You put it together so that it made who they are. Lord, I pray that you may press the button that needs to be pressed. You may connect them with a connection that needs to be, they need to be connected to, so that at the end of the day you will receive the glory. I pray that the zeal of the house, Father God, shall come upon us like it has never done before. That, Father God, in this city we shall be known as children of God who are articulating the concepts of the Lord in the name of Jesus. That we shall stand our ground to be counted in this colorless and perilous times, Father. That in a wicked generation, Father God, there will be a remnant that shall stand strong, Lord, even for the constitution and for the government of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Father, let our foundation be made afresh in the name of Jesus. Create in us a new heart, O Lord. A heart that is ready to serve you. A heart that is able to respond even to your call this day. In the name of Jesus. Father, may you bless these people in the name of Jesus. Speak to them, and Father God, nourish them with your good word to the glory and honor of your name. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand of praise.